You're listening to Grocery Journal.
Enjoy the show.
And we're here.
Hello.
Today. Mr. Tomness.
Mr. Francis, how's it going?
It's very good to have you here, my friend. It's going good. It's going well. How about yourself?
Very good being here. I like that you got some coffee ready as well. I'm really cozy in my urbanistic sweater, which are hopefully being sold very soon.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it. It looks good on you, man.
It is awesome. Yeah, to everyone who is listening this right now, unfortunately, yeah, you should check out the urbanistic Instagram or my profile soon, so you can see also the back print on these hoodies as well. It's a really awesome design, and I'm stoked for all the clothing that's coming soon.
This is my podcast, bro. I'm supposed to be hyping you up.
Bruh, I'm an influencer. I promote wherever and whenever.
I appreciate it, man. And you are an influencer, and that's how I first met you. Saw you on Instagram just doing some awesome stuff. Just this random German dude in Canada that seems to know a whole shit ton about cannabis. And I thought, I'm going to send this guy some random cannabis samples and see what he can tell me about them.
That's how it all started. That's how, yeah, it was also really random that this guy from the UK suddenly messaged me and is like, hey, can I send you some weed and you tell me what it is, but I won't tell you before. And I'm like, sure. And now a couple of while later, we hung out already a bunch, made some content, and now we're here.
I mean, when you say it back to me like that, it definitely sounds like a scam. Like, I want to send you some weed. I just need your home address, your mother's maiden name, and the last 3 digits on the back of your bank card.
Exactly. That's how it came together. Yeah, but.
And that must have been like almost a year ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost, I think, which has flown by, and we've got even deeper into this now. I feel, you know, like I've really been on a journey from smoking weed for a long time and being completely clueless about it, to really trying to get more methodical and standardized about the way that I look at any cannabis product. Yeah. And I mean, we've looked at, you know, the microscopes. They're going to be coming through on Urbanistic soon. I'm super excited about these. It's changed my perspective totally on what I'm consuming now, because if I buy flower from a store, like, it's going under that microscope.
Yeah, and also like these microscopes in particular, that's also why I was like pushing you a little bit and be like, hey, we should be doing this. Is also because you also had the chewless loops before and all of that. It's pretty cool. Look at it with the chewless loop. But man, like when you and me checked this microscope out like 2 days ago, we were just like yelling and being like, oh, and wow, and oh my God, trichomes, and oh my God, look at that Keith. And yeah.
I wish we'd had like a live action cam for that, because we were just like two giddy schoolboys, like excited about something. And that's a good feeling to have, man. It's almost like feeling awe, which has been linked to, you know, feeling great and tackling things like depression and anxiety. I think that's why like walking in nature helps, because it can inspire awe in you, which has a bunch of therapeutic effects. So
yeah.
Looking at a microscope can be good for your mental health, man, I swear.
Yeah, also, yeah, brings out your inner child as well, like back in school, back in, just like biology class and whatever, when you like looked at some stuff and now you just check out your...
The irony is, I was, you know, fortunate enough to go to a school where, you know, they had like good microscopes, they had good equipment there.
No,
I didn't care about that. You know, I was just getting into trouble, fooling around.
That's the thing in school, schools, if you're listening, you want your students engaged, show them trichomes under a microscope.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. I mean, they look like freaking alien planetary trees or something, you know, like they look very otherworldly.
Yeah, and that's also the thing, is like even like with the microscope and the school and all of this, like even doing stuff like we did as well, like dissecting the cannabis, looking at like, this is a stigma, this is a pistil, this is an ovule, where it's no calyx, this is a calyx membrane, but it's not the same thing as a calyx, so let's start talking, let's start calling this a flower and so on.
It's difficult. Like, it's I think cannabis almost seems like a somewhat unique industry, especially when it comes to terminology and agreeing on things. I like the obvious one to me is indica, sativa. It's the gold standard in, you know, most places for describing the effects of a cannabis, I guess. You know, the tried and true kind of one that everyone goes to in 9 out of 10 cannabis stores is, you know, indica is in the couch, make you feel sleepy. Sativa is like a daytime, energetic, active kind of thing. Do you agree with that, or do you take issue with it?
Well, like as you know, for instance, I'm like a entrepreneur, so I'm certified by the Trichome Institute, and I learned that indica, that the terms indica and sativa are actually like wrong terminology, because that's like the interesting thing about like the cannabis industry in general. And as you were saying, like, everyone has a different viewpoint because there's so much misinformation in this industry. There are so many things because cannabis hasn't been studied, so not only scientifically, but also in terms of biology and how you, like, even talk about certain parts of the plants, as we were already being confused by the term calyx as well. Has not been fully like verified, like also who's like saying right now that it's has to be called like this and that. And that is why I, for example, at some point with all the misinformation out there, just decided, hey, I'm gonna get all of my information from this one source now, and I'm just gonna be listening to this one source, which for me personally just worked out as being the Trichome Institute, just because also all the stuff that they teach just makes a lot of sense, and that also made a lot of sense to me back in the day when there was no sativa and no indica, that the taxonomy for this is different, but that there are 5 different effect types, which you could classify into sativa, sativa dominant, hybrid, indica dominant, and then indica. Or the Trichome Institute does it with narrow leaf marijuana on a spectrum up to broadleaf marijuana up to a spectrum to narrow leaf marijuana. So it's all super interesting, but at the same time, working in a cannabis store, and I know you worked in a cannabis store as well, and you've been a rep and been to the stores as well. If you have someone come into the store asking you for a sativa joint and you tell that person, hey, this is actually narrow leaf marijuana, the customer just gonna turn around and walk back out again.
Yeah, there should be a button at the start of the store which is like, do you want the correct answer or the quick answer?
Yeah, and that's also where for like the bartenders, and there's something that's like missing in this industry so far that I find is also proper bartender training and proper bartender education, because that also for me, which was very interesting, because it really depends on the consumer types that are coming into the store. So it really comes towards the bartender that they have to assess customers based on their looks, how they talk about cannabis and all of that, to then make the decision, hey, I give you this amount of information or this amount of information. Because I wrote an article about this, about customer-consumer stereotypes, because if you read the article, if you tell a gray market Gary something about like very specific about like terpenes, or that he's not right, that this is an indica or something, gray market Gary is used to the gray market, he will tell you that he smoked cannabis for longer than you are even born, and then he's gonna be really mad and goes to a different store. So it's very, this industry, the education, the service behind it, it's all so complex and versatile, and yeah, we're still just figuring it all out, right?
We are, yeah. We're just at the beginning of figuring it out, really. It's, I think we've got a long way to go, but it's pretty interesting. You know, it's interesting you touched on that in the cannabis store, and, you know, I did get those, grey market Garys. I love that.
Grey market Garys,
should be in a textbook one day. I did get those. I found that the best way to deal with that, or the most important skill at your disposal, is just trying to have a little bit of, like, emotional intelligence or context and understand where these people are coming from, and just having the right kind of response that is going to engage with them. So someone like that, you know, I will challenge them, but in a light, respectful way, with a smile on our face, have a bit of a laugh. And I find like a lot of times they appreciate that and, you know, let them know that a lot of us did come from black or grey market, whatever you want to call it. You know, I came from the UK where, you know, everything was illegal there.
Yeah.
You know, you come from Germany, it's the same there. So, you know, a lot of the players in the legal space now are people that have been around and do know a lot. Unfortunately, there's you know, the money men there as well, and then there's the regulators, which, you know, they have, I guess they have experience putting out rules and regulations, managing alcohol, not with cannabis.
Yeah, and cannabis still very stigmatized at the same time, which is also like, we have cannabis fully legalized, but at the same time, you can still feel how much stronger it is stigmatized than alcohol, for example, which is sad, but unfortunately also makes sense if you look back into the prohibition of like alcohol. I mean, alcohol coming back out of it also had a bitter taste to it, but now everyone's just okay with it. I mean, I'm German, man, I drink so much beer, whatever. Like, what my hope would be is that we just let more micro growers and smaller producers enter this industry, which is also, I'm like very supportive of the BC Craft Farmers Cooperative as well, which are helping out craft growers and advocating for the craft growers and the micro growers, because like as you were saying, I kind of want both. I want there to be a massive cannabis production, but then there to also be like craft cannabis production as it is with alcohol as well. You have your like becks that you can find everywhere on the planet, and then you have only certain brews that you can only find here in like certain regions, and then these are a little bit more pricey. And this is especially where I find BC especially as a really good standpoint, especially if they let their micro growers enter the market, because what I would love to see is basically that you have a whole commercial hemp industry, when a whole commercial like medical cannabis industry that is just focused on THC, CBD specific distillate oils or whatever, because you don't need the greatest weed to make these products. And when you have a bunch of micro growers who are producing really, really high quality weed, and for that high quality weed, because it's also, as we can see on the legal market right now, it's really hard for a producer to hit the nail right on top of the head with a product. So if you have a producer that can give you amazingly looking nugs, and you and me, we already did some testing together, so you saw that the most amazing looking nug is not always the nicest smoke experience. But that's the thing, and that's also in terms of pricing. If you have a nug that looks beautiful, smells like a fruit, doesn't bother you or lungs at all, and it tastes like a fruit as well, then I gladly spend $60 for that eighth, because this is something special. Like, it has a visual appeal, and it has, if it looks amazing and tastes amazing, the effects will also be amazing as well. Like, the more pleasant your experience is while you're consuming it, the more pleasant your experience will be after you're consuming it as well.
That's, yeah, I definitely vibe with that. I'm always about the flavor.
Yeah.
If I enjoy the flavor, I'm going to enjoy it. If I don't enjoy the flavor, but even if the effects are good, I don't enjoy that. Like, yeah, I have to enjoy the ride as well as the destination.
Exactly. And it's like I then still finish these products that are not flavorful but make me feel good, but most likely I won't purchase them again. Unless the flavor was sort of alright and the effects are perfect, then I would like buy it again because of the effects, but not because of the flavor. And just this conversation shows me already where the bartender training also needs to be worked on, because people don't learn that about cannabis. You don't only talk about this is making me feel this way or this looks this way. It's also about like, how does it smoke? How do you smoke? How much do you smoke? Like, there's so much that factors in, and what our bartenders learn right now, if you start working in cannabis stores, this is how you check your ID, this is how long you file your like registers and like your smell procedures, and this is how you spot intoxicated people. But where's the actual knowledge about this is how you sell recreational cannabis in Canada? And this brings us towards something that we're passionate about and that we want to bring to the people as well, is education based on the microscopes and education based on content creation, which we're both content creators and definitely have some responsibility with that as well.
I think so, man. And you do hit on a good point. Like, you know, we talked just about the whole Sativa Indica thing, right? But if you go into a store and the bud tender's like, hey, you know, can I help you find something? You can be like, yeah. 9 times out of 10, they're going to ask, are you looking for a sativa or an indica?
Yeah.
We need to come up with something that is as easy as that.
Okay.
As something to say, you know, like, oh, come over here and let me show you this broadleaf that's, you know,
I can
go into like super big detail. There almost needs to be like a framework, right?
Yeah, I can tell you because I kind of hit this framework when I was dealing in the store. So I was using the knowledge from the Trichome Institute about the 5 different effect types. But when I was using with that the sativa indica terminology as well. So basically how I was saying is I was asking a customer, do you want to be relaxed or do you want to be sedated? Do you want to be uplifted or do you want to be fully energized and maybe risk getting a little paranoid as well? Or do you just want to have a good time? Have a good time.
It's so effect-based, we're looking at basically, like, you know, here's a bunch of effects of ways that you may feel.
Yeah, and that is like the first route to go with cannabis is like, so the facts and like, as you know, I built a very objective cannabis grading system. So the effects you take out because the effects are completely subjective, right? Because different endocannabinoid system, different environment, different consumption method, and
but that's
so on.
That's where these things become more complex, because on a grading level, I 100% agree with you, it needs to be as objective and as standardized as possible.
Yeah.
But from a consumer point of view, you know, I'm not looking for something that scored an average of like, you know, 80% in a grading system. I'm looking for something that's going to make me feel giggly, relaxed, and maybe hungry as well, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where consumers will relate to shopping with cannabis. You know, they're looking for an effect. And you know, a lot of times that'll be a medical effect. Like, I want something that will help me sleep or, you know, along that kind of lines, which is a fuzzy line in recreational stores right now.
Yeah.
But is there a way to interface those, do you think?
I would say for sure, because as I was saying, like with the system as well, as first you can ask consumer and like, hey, how do you want to feel? And then that already brings the perspective for bud tender. Let's say you have 100 products in your store, 100 flower products, because the person wants to buy flower. And then you're just like, hey, do you want to be relaxed or sedated or uplifted? And we're like, yeah, I want to be relaxed but not really sedated. So you know, okay, it's going to be indica hybrid, and boom, 100 flower drops down to 30 maybe. And then with these 30 flowers, you're just asking them, yeah, are you looking for a specific price point? So next comes price or quality. So you can differentiate between like, hey, are you looking for a specific aroma or a specific cultivar that you already liked out of these that we have? Or do you have a specific price point? And then brings it down further and further and further and further until you end at like 1 or 3 products. And that later on with like proper testing, tracking the effects, and all of that can lead us to different conclusions about different products that we like. Because if we smell a product and we take a dry pull, because these are like, the smelling is like how to perceive the aroma, and the dry pull is basically how to perceive the flavor in the best way. So if we track these things and then look at the effects afterwards, we can rely on our nose and our taste buds to determine what effects we can experience from what cultivar, if that makes sense. Because for example, for me, and I did this experiment already and I don't have to do it more often because I did it enough, is I can smoke nutty cultivars. Like whatever smells a little bit like nuts usually gives me anxiety, makes me really dumb. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I was like, I'm not sure if it's really just about the nuttiness. There gotta be more, but I tried like 8 different cultivars that were all nutty smelling, and I ended up being anxious and dumb after each of them.
Do you think that's like a specific terpene or mix of terpenes that, you know, you just don't get on well with?
Well, mix of terpenes for sure, but it's also, and that's the interesting thing about the Trichome Institute and also about like quality and how it ties into the effects as well. It's also about like the shape of the nugs as well. But in that sense, I would almost say most likely the terps, because some of them had different colors and different shapes and different grades of density, but they all overall smelled a little bit nutty and ended up making me dumb.
See, that's interesting. I haven't necessarily figured out on that side of like what won't be good for me, but I have figured out what is good for me.
Yeah, and what is good for you.
Yeah, I've seen specifically when limonene and linalool are together in the, you know, the dominant terpenes of a cultivar, I'm really likely to enjoy that experience. Yeah. Because I find that the linalool slows everything down for me. It's something that seems to protect from the risk of enhancing anxiety or muddling thoughts, all that kind of stuff, which there is a risk with certain cultivars, and definitely dose plays a big part of that for me as well. But then, you know, linalool on its own is, you know, very grounding and chilled, but the limonene adds a little bit of fun, a little bit of like, you know, playfulness, you know, that uplifting vibe. And I feel that together, they are just so complementary, and they keep each other in check for this like really nice
aroma as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I've noticed, you know, every time I've had a cultivar that's had those two terpenes in, I know I like it. But this is just why we need, you know, more information. You know, like THC and CBD percent on a cannabis package in this day and age, 3 years into cannabis legalization, is not good enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and from like my perspective, how we were like, and how I am referring to the smells, because I do think that everyone should be tracking the smells and the flavors of the weed we smoke to get to know what products work well for them. Because something that has, like as you were saying, limonene and linalool, I would say that still like only specific ones gonna make you feel really good, but other ones have maybe different ratios and smell a little bit different and make you feel a little bit good, but like less good, maybe, if that makes sense. And yeah, that's also for me personally another example about like strains that make me feel good. I know that strains that smell orange, like oranges, make me feel good as well, because the more like creamy orangey strains are more so also on the sativa dominant side rather than on the fully sativa narrow leaf marijuana side, because the cultivars on the narrow leaf marijuana side are more like really fruity, pungent, citrus. It hits you kind of right between your eyebrows, while the orangey ones, the creamy ones, or even the more piney ones on the sativa dominant side hit you more around between your eyes, kind of down here, which then gives you effects that are uplifting but have a lower risk of making you paranoid, because that's one problem that I'm struggling with, especially one good strain. An example for that, it's the Creek Congo, which also smells a lot like terpenolin, and the buds themselves are very vipsy and just looks like a full-on sativa. So whenever I smoke that, I'm just being like, whoa.
See, I love those flavor profiles, but I feel like it's often too much for me. Especially when I'm just sitting around. It's like part of me needs to do an intense workout, and if it's not my body, it's my mind.
Yeah.
So great for like physical activity, you go on a cycle ride or something like that, but it's a shame because I love those flavor profiles.
And the smells are so good. Yeah.
But yeah, and I do love them at times, but again, coming back to dose, very, very important. And I feel like if I smoke too much of them, either racy thoughts or I just feel super faded. you know, not tired, just like a bit dumb and faded.
Yeah, and that's sometimes also the thing that I found interesting about like the haze cultivars, which are like the narrow leaf marijuana ones, which are the most uplifting because we're like haze, right? But some of those just kind of also make you just like really scooched out and tired a bit as well, I found.
I want to take a quick segue away from cannabis. I think it very much is, you know, relevant and interlinked, but I know you do a lot with mindfulness, meditation, yoga, that kind of stuff. So can you tell me a little bit about that? And, you know, as someone that's constantly battling burnout and fatigue and stress, you know, what tools can we employ to help manage these things?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I'm someone who's battling these things as well. Same as like most of the people out there right now, and especially the content creators out there, I feel like especially have to battle all of that because we're directly exposed to social media 24/7 because of our work and what we do, and it can be daunting and can make you feel quite burnt out. So that's where at some point I found myself struggling, especially I always had to deal a lot with my own lack of self-confidence that I have sometimes and like negative thought patterns and all of that. And so I really, and I'm someone who like, maybe it's also because I'm German, but I'm also someone who started lifting weights and doing stuff to get stronger. And when I learned about meditation and mindfulness and how this is basically your biceps curls for your brain, if you will, because it just helps you to be a little bit calmer, make better decisions. Like, and that's the thing about meditation is also it has been researched. It's not something, because there are spiritual meditations and spiritual mindfulness practices, but at the same time you have all of the scientific research that shows that loving kindness improves your self-esteem, improves your compassion for other people, or like for example breath focus increases your focus, also increases your decision making, being more focused. And then another mindfulness activity that you have as well is like gratitude practice, which helps to even boost your immune system, makes you overall a happier and more grateful person. So all of these things were just super interesting to me, looking at it also from a scientific perspective, because I also feel like that it does make sense that if you sit down for 15 minutes and just focus on being grateful for what you have in life, then for 15 minutes you will be grateful for what you have in life, which will make you feel pretty good. And then your brain has these thinking patterns in mind, so if you do it the next day again, it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's, yeah, basically how I came into mindfulness, was kind of with a fitness approach in my mind, being like, yo, I'm gonna train these certain areas of my brain that are responsible for triggering certain emotion and certain thinking patterns. And I especially tied it together with cannabis, because I feel with cannabis as well, you have to be really mindful about how you consume, because I also know a lot of people and knew some other people that were using cannabis in a way where it's not responsible, and it's legal now and I want it to be legal, which means that we as humans don't have to be mindful of our consumption, because otherwise the government gets a reason to maybe make it illegal again, because like, yo, people can't like handle this plant very well apparently. Because that's the next thing about like cannabis and about mindfulness as well, is cannabis makes you lazy. And I know that there are people out there that won't get too lazy once we smoke cannabis, because, and that's also the interesting thing about cannabis and mindfulness together, because there are also people who are dealing with chronic issues, and these chronic issues often stem out of having an endocannabinoid disbalance. And so for some people, they have to smoke weed to work normal, but other people maybe work normal, and if they smoke weed, they get lazier, which is also apparently has been like proven in like some studies as well.
Yeah, I think they did a longitudinal study, the one that I'm aware of, that there may well be others where they looked at kind of lifetime performance of a large group of people, some of which were not cannabis users, some of which were cannabis users. They did find a correlation between cannabis users as being maybe like less successful in life, or maybe like less happy, or you know, something around that sort of thing. But the, you know, the study has caveats. You know, they're not controlling to the people that are smoking a lot of cannabis. They weren't really controlling other factors, you know, like did these people come from disadvantaged communities where, you know, they had a really tough upbringing filled with a bunch of trauma, filled with absence of love, lack of security. You talked about Maslow's hierarchy of needs being like pretty low down on that. You know, in which case a lot of people turn to all sorts of drugs as a coping mechanism. And, you know, I think so. Cannabis can make you lazy. I 100% agree with that, and think like
but consume mindfully.
You know, Michael Phelps uses cannabis. I don't think anyone can say.
Yeah, even Snoop Dogg, man. Snoop Dogg's not a lazy man. Everything Snoop Dogg's done, for example, best example, or even Seth Rogen, like these are not lazy people. No. These are people that work 24/7 shooting movies, making music, and all of this. So this is also your example that cannabis consumed mindfully doesn't make you lazy, because at the same time, man, Snoop Dogg's high 24/7, so apparently Snoop Dogg got his tolerance and everything pretty good figured out. Same with Seth Rogen, but I bet you that Seth Rogen won't be like super stoned when he's shooting a movie, right?
No.
And that is the mindful consumption.
Because, well, I mean, most of his movies, maybe he is, but you know, it's kind of okay.
Yeah.
Because they're stoner movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's intention and, like you say, mindful consumption are paramount to, you know, sensible use that helps you.
Yeah, and especially at the same time, also mindfulness in general can be a really good tool for you to not start abusing cannabis in a way as well, or at least that is just from my personal experience, because I had a time where I was dealing with like a lot of negative emotions and negative thinking patterns. So I was thinking the best thing for me to do is to smoke weed, because the weed just makes everything better, makes me feel looser and more up. But then it often went opposite way, where I was getting tired, I was getting the munchies, I just wanted to chill out. And when I did that at a time where I maybe it wasn't really beneficial for me, because when I'm like when I'm like wasting time eating all of my fridge, feeling unhealthy the next day, and then the negative cycle continues, and that is where I've at some point realized that I maybe have to find another suitable way of dealing with my thoughts and like dealing with emotions outside of cannabis, because sometimes you can also be at work and have a really stressful day, and when you smoke a joint and when you're less focused at work maybe, but you feel maybe a little better.
I think the problem is if you're using cannabis to get you to like a certain benchmark of operational capability, you know, if you're just smoking it just so you can forget all your problems and just about function for a little bit, then that's, you know, it's not a healthy habit. You know, you're using it as a crutch, and that's only going to lead to negative consequences ultimately. Whereas, you know, if you're using it as an enhancer, then you know, that makes a lot of difference. And just being honest with yourself, like I smoke too much a lot of the time, you know, it comes down to self-regulation. Oh, I smoked a bit too much, like, you know.
Even yesterday, hanging out with you, I definitely smoked too much. Like today, I was waking up being like, whoa, I'm so tired. But also sometimes it's okay. I'm just talking in general, because I do know people, and I do got to know to people where people were saying, yeah, he won't succeed much because he's a stoner, and those are like your very stereotypical stoners that actually, yeah, woke up in the morning, smoked weed, got lazy, smoked more weed, got more lazy, and then ended up not going to the gym, not going to see that friend, not going to this and this, and like it pulls you a little bit out of your social circles as well. And this is like, and this is like the, in my opinion, besides the people that had schizophrenia and maybe other paranoia who should not be smoking cannabis either, this is the only downside of cannabis, and that's why I want to advocate for the mindfulness and why I want to be to people, hey, like, wake up, like, reconsider how much cannabis you're intaking in a sense as well.
But knowledge is power, right? Like, we've lived through decades of it being illegal. Cannabis causes psychosis and all of this kind of stuff. That's a well-flogged horse. We know that it can trigger a psychotic episode in people that have a predisposition towards it. Same way coffee can do the same thing. THC seems to be the key player in triggering that. And so
definitely
what we've seen is, you look at all these studies from the past few decades, and when you actually read through them, it's almost hilarious in that they're just conducted by people that have no idea about cannabis. So the cannabis that they're getting in, you know, they don't tell you about the quality of the cannabis that was used in the research. What was the THC percent? What was the CBD percent? What was the terpene profile? You know, crucial stuff, because you could have completely different experiences.
Which comes down
and
to
you have no, it's not recorded in the trial. You know, so they're basing conclusions and summaries that just can't be classed as a high quality of evidence by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, you've got all of this historic thing showing, you know, that it may cause psychosis. And then you've got this recent emergence of data coming out now showing that CBD is a useful tool in helping to prevent against psychosis and these same things. So you've got a news headline where it's like, cannabis helps prevent psychosis caused from psychosis caused by cannabis. Because the studies aren't differentiating. Well, actually, CBD is the player here that's helping. You know, too much THC, particularly with these terpenes, is you know, a high risk for certain individuals. I feel like that's the place where we've got to get to. But it's, you know, it's crazy. We should sit down and look at some of these studies, man. You'll find it, I don't know, like half shocking and half a little bit funny.
And no, and that is also what, like, was like, I was like aware of that as well, but that also comes like then back to like mindful consumption in a sense that ties into with the quality aspect and the testing that we were talking about as well. Because like, for example, a non-mindful consumption from me would be smoking nutty strains all day. Because when I end up being paranoid and like dumb all day, which is not good, but if I smoke my orangey strains and I smoke a little less, like, as you know, I'm smoking lots of one hitters because I came to the point where I'm like, yo, a half gram joint in the morning is just too much for me. And that's what I want to like teach people, basically what the mindfulness aspect about is, not only teaching people how to consume more mindfully for themselves, but also showing people tools that can calm us down, which are not weed. And I just feel like generally that meditation is a really cool and beneficial tool for us. It's just lately becoming a little bit more hipster, and that's also what I want to do. Obviously, I want to make meditating something that is fun and that is hipster, and where people can see that this is something that's like very beneficial. Because for me, sometimes, like you and me did a meditation today this morning, is like sometimes you do these like guided meditation and we're like just enjoy the moment of just sitting there, breathing, doing nothing. And I'm like, when I'm meditating in the morning, I really enjoy these moments that I'm having with myself. Literally, you are a content creator, you have your own like online supply store, like you have so much stuff to do. Sometimes just sitting down and being with your mind for 10 minutes is something that we can also learn to really appreciate, besides all of the great benefits that you're getting from this as well.
It's it feels paradoxical, but so much in life does and is that way, that you have to slow down and stop all of your thinking entirely to ultimately be more productive and think more effectively. you know, if I feel overwhelmed by work, the best thing I can do is not do any of it and do some meditation. Because I come out and I have some focus, I'm not overwhelmed anymore, and I can just start working through things.
Yeah, and there's like just tying back into cannabis, and not everyone's like that. I'm just the problem case here over there maybe, but that's the same thing about cannabis. Is like back in the day before I got like more into meditation, mindfulness, and learned about like how my endocannabinoid system responds to THC. If I'm getting overwhelmed at work, I go and smoke an indica because I'm like, oh, it's just gonna calm me down. I mean, I'm just being tired and unfocused, and I'm gonna get even more overwhelmed at work because now I can focus because I'm also German and now I have to write these things in English. I'm just like, wow. And yeah, now I'm just taking 10-minute meditations and it's way better in a sense as well.
Awesome. You know, we talked about this earlier that for me, you know, the mornings are a crucial part of the day that sets me up for you know, having a more positive day or a day that I'm going to struggle through and feel like everything's going wrong. Yeah. And most definitely, you know, scrolling through my phone in the morning, not good. It often leaves me feeling, you know, feelings of unrest, things that are going on in the world, or you know, looking at all these great things that people are doing and feeling like I'm not achieving enough, and you know, just boom, there's my confidence gone for the day. Whereas if I wake up, no phone, no screen, start with some meditation, I do find that has a huge effect. And this is something that you do with your collective, the different collective that you started and you're part of. And I know you've been doing these Mindfulness Mondays, you do these regular chats on Clubhouse.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool, man. How did that start? How did you start doing that?
Well, basically I started doing that, and it's also like ties in perfectly with what we're talking about right now, because like as you were saying, you have to start off your day in the right way, because you're also a content creator, you have your own online supply store and all of that. So maybe first thing in the morning you open your phone and there are 50 new emails, 20 messages, whatever, and you're just like, whoa. Like, whoa, and your brain's immediately stressed out because you're just like, oh, I gotta reply this. And especially as a content creator, it's like, this is an opportunity, and that is an opportunity, and I could text him, message her, oh, this is posting inspo, like this picture, whatever. It's just all super infinite. Overwhelming and infinite, but also at the same time, because you're driven, you're like, I gotta do this, I gotta be on top of it, I gotta do this and this and this and this. And I was feeling so overwhelmed by all of it, but at the same time, I really enjoy doing what I'm doing. And one day, creating revenue and like making a life as someone who's just creating cannabis content is just like my dream job. This is like my ideal, but this ideal you can't really get without being active, without checking your phone, without going into Instagram, without creating content. So I really just wanted to figure out, how can I do all these things but still be mindful about it and not as stressed? And then the idea that I had is like, oh, I'm struggling with all of these things, all these other micro influencers are maybe struggling with it as well. And that's when I started talking to people, and that's when I realized, okay, not only are there more cannabis content creators that want to monetize their artistry and their creativity one day, but there are also all of these creators that are all stressed out like me as well. And that's when I also couldn't work for 2 months because of my visa and all of that. That was a really stressful time for me. So that's where I decided, okay, I'm gonna become a certified like breathwork instructor now to figure out how I can meditate more efficiently and tell people how to meditate as well. And then after that, I realized all these things about these other content creators and that everyone's feeling the same way like me. So I was like, yo, I'm gonna help these people be a little bit less stressed out, and at the same time, man, is like this community is just awesome, because at the same time you're in where Ellie's in, where James in, where it's just all like-minded content creators that are all dealing with the same problems, are passionate about the same things, have skill set that tie together with each other. Like, we are already like a working group, even though we don't really work all together, and we're already a mental health support group, even though we don't claim to be that, which, disclaimer, we are not, but we are. And yeah, it's just all just since the beginning was just super dope doing all of that, and I hope that there will come more out of this as soon as we can get some funding and make this something bigger as well, because it's also my main intention later is also that I can not only offer people meditations and open ear education, being connected with all these amazing content creators, but I also want to offer the people to have the opportunity to monetize their Instagram content, which is something that is really hard with the current regulations and all of that. But at the same time, I'm hopeful that once the regulations lift up a little bit, that all of us will already be on top of the game. And on the other hand, I just recently decided to go freelance and just monetize my content and make that a living. And it's been super stressful so far, but it's going pretty well. And if I, as the German guy who came over here, can do this, I also know that all the other people who come over here or are already over here can do this as well. I just need a little push. And at the same time, I want to take a little bit the anxiety out of it, because when I started a freelancing, man, can I ask my wife, man, I was going crazy. I was being a real asshole here and there as well, because I was being so stressed out all the time. But now I have it all figured out. So what I also want to give back to these content creators is like, hey, here's my template for an invoice. Here's my template for a project proposal. Here's my template on how I write cannabis articles. So you don't have to go through these leaps of anxiety and figuring stuff out anymore, because you have me, you have Ellie, you have friends, you have people who went through it and who can put your hand on your shoulder because of mindfulness, and sometimes we just need a buddy to grab our shoulder and be like, yo, bro, I'm helping you. So that's also why it's all about support, passionate people, and yeah, it's just a good time. I hope that answered your question. I forgot the question.
Hell yeah, I don't know what the question was, but that was the answer. If you're a Canadian cannabis consultant, freelancer, passionate about it,
bartender,
you live in Germany, UK, anywhere in the world, budtender, I highly recommend checking out the Different Collective. Really cool community of passionate, great people. Coming from a blue chip organization quite a few years ago, where, you know, I had lots of structure, I had lots of mentors. That was something I really missed when I came over and went into urbanistic, went into the cannabis scene full time. And you know, I think that's something that you've identified very early on, and you've created this, and we can lift each other up, push each other out of our comfort zones a bit, and bounce ideas around as well, which is super cool. Go check it out.
Yeah, and at the same time, we're just all learning together, and it maybe will become legal everywhere. So there you go. If you want to be a cannabis content creator, you can maybe work globally one day. And that's just like the crazy thought that I have in the back of my mind. And then the last thought about the Different Collective and content creators in general as well is, I also really enjoy having the name cannabis influencer, or titling myself as a cannabis influencer, because we as cannabis content creators, even the cannabis reviewers out there, whoever, we are directly influencing the consumers through our content. If I'm going to be using this microscope right now, which is super dope and available on Urbanistic very soon, we will make more content about that. If I'm going to be using this microscope right now and post a picture of, let's just say, the Platinum Grace by Organicroft, which most likely won't ever have mold in it, but let's just say I find a bug and some mold in it and I post it on my Instagram, do you think the consumer that looks at that post goes to the store and buys this weed? Do you think a store that's putting in their order right now and sees that product will buy that weed? I don't think so. So I'm influencing with one single post multiple people at a time. So if we're 100% content creators and we review cannabis in the same way, we talk about cannabis in the same way, man, we're just gonna not influence the consumers, but this entire industry. Not only here, but maybe even globally, who knows? That, yeah, content is power, and it's just like influencer, it just is the perfect word for it, because you do influence people.
Yeah, and that's a good power to have, man. Like, you can use it for good, you know, like education, all that good stuff. All the stuff you're doing, you understand that.
That's all the different collective is about. Just gives you cannabis education and mindfulness. Just the two good things you need in life.
And if there's cannabis companies listening to this, for God's sake, get in touch with Tom. Like, you've got a bloody gem here to use and benefit from and learn from. Hey, man, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day, everyone. And yeah, just reach out if you want to join a different collective. We have UK people, German people, Brazilian people, Spanish people. We have all the people.
All the people.
Very inclusive.